We just thank God for each and every one that's using the gifts that God's given you, whatever area it is here at the church, and not only here at the church, but around the world. Praise the Lord. It's an exciting time to be alive. You know, the more turmoil that goes on, the more exciting it gets. We win. Don't ever forget that. How many of you have read the back of the book? We win. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. Doesn't matter what happens in this life. Glory to God, we win. And we win while we're here. And if we're not here, we'll win while we're there. Because of Jesus. It's all because of Him. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk tonight, and probably next, here in a couple weeks, I'll be back on a Sunday night. That's the plan, Lord willing. And I want to talk about Jesus responded to faith. Jesus responded to faith. And we're talking about living, speaking, and receiving God's best here. Some key scriptures, and there's four scriptures in the Word of God. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. We'll start there. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just, those who are right with God. If you're born again in here tonight, you're right with God. Amen? Really, because of what Jesus done, everyone's right with God, but they have to be reconciled to him to receive it, the benefit of it. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So here, Paul, as he writes this by the Spirit of God, quoting what Habakkuk had said by the Spirit of God. In Habakkuk, he said, the just shall live by his faith. It's implied here, the just shall live by faith. Then Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Anybody detecting a pattern here? And you know, letters, these words, these books, this Bible, is not, none of it's in here just to take up space. This book is of divine origin. We had, you know, about 40 writers, but there's only one author. That's God. Over 1,500 years, you know, the odds, you know, of over 1,500 years for 40 different writers to have one theme is beyond almost what you could do, you know, with your little calculator on your phone. May not be enough spaces on there, but with God, how many know nothing's impossible with Him? One last one, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So these aren't, for this to be four times in the Word of God, three of them in the New Testament, shows us the importance of faith, and not just faith, but living by faith. So let's think of it this way. Faith is not a religious accessory. It is a life principle for every believer. Notice he said, we live by faith. We live. It's not just an accessory, something that's part. We live by this faith. Faith is how we live. It's more than just how we receive. We'll get into all this, okay? Think about it. God never intended for us to visit faith occasionally. You know, sometimes folks wait till it gets bad to start believing God. How many of you have ever heard, you know, say, well, we're praying. So has it gotten that bad? You have to pray? No, we live by faith. Right? It's not something we just do occasionally. I think that, you know, because God is so merciful and so good to us that if you're not careful, sometimes you get the idea that God has events of faith. But we're to live by faith, not just go from event to event. In other words, it's a lifestyle of faith. I know in talking to Reverend Doug Jones, who was at one time was in charge of prayer and healing school under Brother Hagin, and talking about people that would come in, there was, you know, there was people would come in and stay for weeks attend classes every day. How many of you volunteered in there? Maybe you were a healing tech or did something of that sort. A lot of folks would go to those. The afternoon meetings would be open. The morning meetings would be just for those who came in. But he talked about this and I've had some discussion with him about it. He said one of the things that you find is that some of these people, not all, but some of them, they were not living by faith before they got here. Okay, and so they're not used to and proficient in how to operate and live by faith now that they need faith to receive, because we're going to see that faith is the main thing that Jesus talked about whenever anyone was healed. He very rarely mentioned his power. He very rarely even mentioned the will of God in any situation. He talked about people's faith. We've emphasized, well, is it God's will? Yes, we need to know that. You need to know what God's will is, absolutely. But Jesus emphasized people's faith. Okay? Faith isn't something that we borrow for emergencies. And this one's so true. Faith is not something we outsource to other people. A lot of people want other people to do their believing for them. Right? Now, I wouldn't say anything bad about a prayer chain or anything like that. But, you know, it's not the number of people you can get praying that's going to bring results. Now, God bless them, but the church I grew up in, the church Manny grew up in, if you got on the prayer chain, that meant you were going to die. God is my witness. As a child growing up, you notice things. And I know if they ever mentioned to anybody, hey, we got to start the prayer chain for so-and-so, so-and-so died. As a child growing up. Because I didn't know what the Word of God had to say about it. Praying, you know, who knows what people were praying. If it be God's will, if it be, you know, whatever. But think about it this way. And this is, you know, in our age, how many of you got your phone with you? Or you got a tablet with you? Do you know that has an operating system on it? Faith is our daily operating system. Amen? And how many of you know you need to upgrade your operating system every once in a while? There's nothing greater than faith, but we need to be daily, daily dealing with faith. So, what are we saying here? Faith is not what we use when life breaks down. Faith is how life is meant to be lived. The just shall live by faith. So, if the just shall live by faith, then we need to know, how did Jesus respond to faith when he walked on the earth? And really, in the Gospels, we have what we could call living case studies. I like that term. How many of you investigative shows and different things like that? And, I won't mention who it is, but I've got a relative that said, if anything ever happens to me, it's him. He watches all these shows. He's trying to figure out how to get away with it. I know they don't, but you know. Amen. But we're going to see something. Jesus noticed faith, measured faith, commended faith, corrected faith, and responded to faith. So let's look at faith that Jesus commended. It's interesting, Jesus didn't ignore faith. He responded to it immediately and intentionally. So let's look at Mark chapter 2. And for time's sake, we probably won't read all the backstory of all these encounters, but we'll read in the main part. You can go back later and read here in Mark and the different ones that we bring up. Here in Mark chapter 2, this is also found, I believe, in Luke chapter 5, where these people bring this man who was sick of the palsy. It says, verse 3 says, there was four of them that brought this man. They couldn't get in the meeting, right? There were so many people there, they couldn't get through the door. So they took the man up on the roof, right, and tore the roof apart and let the man down before Jesus. Verse 5, Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Now notice this. What's he doing? He's recognizing faith. You know, faith can be recognized. And you and I need to know the attributes of faith so that we can recognize whether or not we be in the faith. All of us are supposed to know whether we're in the faith or not. We should learn to be brutally honest with ourselves. Now, I know when you talk about in some circles in the church, the faith, they're talking about, you know, whatever denomination. We're not talking about a denomination here. We're talking about what Pastor talked about this morning. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of lifestyle we're looking at. Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, there in Ephesians 6, when it talks about, you know, the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked, you know, all those type of things. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions contrary to the word of God. But also, symptoms, situations, and circumstances that are contrary to the word of God. Faith gives us the victory over all those things. So anything that falls in that, any thought, any idea, any suggestion that comes to you. I know Brother Hagin used to say it this way, any thought of defeat is not of God. That's the devil every time. You're not going to make it this time. Well, that's just a good sign that I am, because the devil's a liar. Glory to God. But the Bible says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. We always have the victory in him. So Jesus saw their faith and said unto the sick of the palsy, son, your sins be forgiven you. So here, as we said, faith is visible. There is action to faith. There are actions of faith. Now, how many of you know every action that people take isn't necessarily a faith? Sometimes, you know, we get outside of it. The Bible does say whatever is not of faith is sin. I mean, you know, you're believing God for some money. Well, you could take the action to go rob a bank, but that wouldn't be faith, would it? You might get the money, but it wasn't faith, it was sin. And thou shalt learn to sleep in a small room. Moving right along. Notice also with this story, faith moves towards Jesus no matter what the obstacle is. They tore that roof apart, put the man down in front of Jesus. I've always wondered, you know, Jesus was a carpenter, right? This is his father's business. He grew up in that. And even in his hometown, they said, wait a minute, you're the carpenter's son. You know, basically they're saying, look, you made my kitchen table. Who do you think you are talking about? God sent you and all this kind of thing. I've always wondered if Jesus hung around that day and fixed the guy's roof. I don't know. Aren't you glad? So this man and these four, the paralytic couldn't walk, but by faith he found a roof. See, faith will cause you to see the answer when it looks impossible. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 8. So faith is recognized by Jesus. Great faith gets Jesus' attention. Here in Matthew chapter 8, what a wonderful section of scripture this is. Like I heard somebody preach one time, you go through Matthew 8 and 9 and 10, and it's just another day in the life of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have this leper that comes and gets healed. Then this centurion in Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5, this centurion comes to Jesus and said, you know, my servant lies at home. And then Jesus, he didn't even ask him. He said, my servant lies at home. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Well, the centurion understood some things. He understood authority. And he said, look, he said, you don't have to come to my house. If you just say, whatever you say will happen. Because I'm a man under authority. And I say, in other words, he's saying, I'm also under authority. But then because I'm under authority, I know how to operate in authority. He said, if I tell one of my servants, which basically he's talking about his soldiers, if I tell them, go do thus and so, they go do thus and so. He's saying, so I recognize with you that you are over, you have a greater authority than what's happening to my servant. And if you say he's healed, he's got to be healed. And look what Jesus said there in verse number 10. He said, when Jesus heard, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Luke's account, Luke chapter 7, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that followed him, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Notice here, faith operates based on authority, not on your proximity to the issue. How many of you know you can speak in faith and not even be present where something needs to happen? Now, faith in what? And this is key. What did this centurion have, and what should we have? Faith in the spoken word of God. Faith in God. Faith in the spoken word of God. And not only do we need to have faith in the spoken word that God, we need to have faith that what we say that agrees with what God says, that we have faith in that word. Another instance of this, let's look in the Syrophoenician woman. Look in Matthew chapter 15. Look what Jesus said to her. The reason I'm going to do this is because I believe that, you know, there's certain things that we need to go over the basics with ourselves all the time. At the beginning of the year, it's a good time. Pastor Craig said, everybody read Believer's Authority again. Right? Read that here in the beginning of the year. And you ought to read it a lot. There's a lot of those, a lot of those books. Well, one of the other things is we need to study faith all the time. Study faith. It's like collecting that manna. How many of you know they had to go out every day? And they just got enough for that day. Yesterday's manna wouldn't feed them today. Well, the memory of yesterday's faith, I can't live by that. Got to live by faith today. All right, Matthew here, chapter 15. This woman's come to Jesus, and Jesus basically, had said to her, I can't take what belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. I don't have this point written down, but I just thought about this. Faith is not easily offended. She said, well, Lord, even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from the master's table. Verse 28, Jesus said to her, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Mark's account, Mark 7:29, says, and he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the devil's gone out of your daughter. Isn't that amazing? For this, what Jesus said? No, because of what she said. Great faith doesn't quit when it's challenged. Great faith leans in further, presses in. Takes another lean in. No, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere, devil. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still here. Your shield of faith might be so full of arrows you can hardly hold it up. And then you hear that missile launch take place. I used to love to hear Jerry Savelle preach on that, and he'd talk about how you're standing there with your shield of faith full of arrows, fiery darts of the enemy. It's burning, and all of a sudden you hear that missile launch. You duck down behind. But you know this, if this one doesn't get you, the devil's done, because this is his best shot coming now. And having done all to stand, do what? Stand therefore. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 9. The next thing here, we've said that faith is recognized by Jesus. We said great faith gets Jesus' attention. Number three, faith receives what grace has provided. While you're turning to Matthew chapter 9 there, let me remind you that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith? That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Grace. And the best example I know of it, and then there's probably others, but for me, this is me, is that apple tree. I can remember my grandfather's at the farmhouse he lived in. There was used to be a bigger orchard, but there was a row of apple trees there still. And you know, apples, excuse me, you don't want to wait till they fall on the ground to go pick one up and eat it. It's already starting to rot by then. Excuse me, but when they are ready, you have to reach up and take hold of it, right? You have to do it. No one else can do it for you. If you want to eat it, you reach up and take hold of it. Now, you didn't grow the apple tree. Well, yeah, I don't care if you planted it. Amen. I'm going to take this vest off because when I get hot, I start coughing here. So that'll work. Hopefully that's all I have to take off. We don't want to go. I heard some amen. I got some amen. I got one of those vocal zones in my mouth, but it's not zoning anything right now. Hang on a second. All right. Matthew 9, did you find that? This is Matthew's account of the woman with issue of blood. And after she came in the press behind and touched his garment, verse 22, Jesus turned him about. When he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole." The woman was made whole from that hour. Now, I want you to notice here. He told her, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, in Mark's account, the Bible says Jesus knew that power went out of him. Virtue, it's the same word, dunamis, for power. He knew the power. But notice, he didn't make mention of his power, even though he was anointed, right? Excuse me. I think sometimes we make too big a deal on the anointing on the minister. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm just saying sometimes if Jesus didn't draw attention to it, we don't really need to. Now, sometimes it does help people believe. And of course, you know, we heard brother, and God told him, if you don't tell people, they won't operate. I understand that. That's obedience to God. But he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Now, here's the thing about that. We're talking about faith receives what grace is provided. Faith didn't create the power. It was already there. I hear people talking about creative faith. I understand what they're trying to say, but we have to be careful that we don't think, listen, God created the world, I understand, by faith. And people say, well, you can create your world by faith. You can't create anything that's not the will of God. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You have to create what grace has already provided. Make it true in your life. So think of this. Faith activates the power that grace has already provided. Power's there, faith activates it. Think of the light switch. All right? You know, you're going to go home tonight, and the time that we're in right now, it's dark out. You know, unless you might have left a light on at the house or whatever, but if you go into a room without a light, you got to turn the switch on. Everything being equal, power's on. The light bulbs are in place, they're working, everything's fine. But if you don't turn the switch, guess what? No light. Excuse me. So grace has provided, but we have to turn the switch using faith. So think about it. Healing, forgiveness, restoration, soundness of mind. Everything that Jesus has provided us is received through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the hand that reaches up and takes hold of what grace has provided. Amen. Now, the last one I'm going to look at tonight, we've got some more we're going to do next time, but is also in Matthew chapter 9. And this, we looked at this in Mark, but I want to see something here also in Matthew. This is this man that was brought, that was sick of the palsy. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. This is verse 2, Matthew 9, 2. Lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you. I know here recently that we had one of our Bible school directors and one of our regional directors go through a challenge in their body. And, you know, a lot of times people, I don't know why, but people, and I don't know, some people are more private than others, I understand. But they said, they told people what was going on. Not everybody, but they told people. Because they wanted what? They said, faith at times is a team sport. Now, you want to have people of faith like this man had. But sometimes the answer comes through corporate faith. Sometimes the miracle comes when, with the help of someone else who's a person of faith. You know, Matthew talks about two of you shall agree on earth. It's touching anything. And there is strength in corporate faith. Now, I know I talked about that prayer chain before. It's not the amount, but it is when we join our faith together. I guess the main thing about, you know, the prayer chain is I'm trusting in the prayer chain, not in God. Right? Never underestimate the power of having faith-filled friends. Amen. And so what's the Bible say about being a friend? Having friends, you got to be a friend first. How about we be faith-filled friends to others? Like our dear brother says, everybody needs four crazy friends who will rip the roof off to get you before Jesus. Amen? We all need our faith. There in Acts chapter 4, after they were let go, Peter and John, the Bible says they came to their own company. Their own company. You got to have a company. You don't have to fight every battle by yourself. Amen. Now, you know, you don't go telling your business to a gossip. And I'm gonna say something here, I'm not the originator of this saying. Don't cast your pearls in front of swine. Any of you ever spent time around pigs? I don't care what's in their way, they will trample it into the ground. They will stomp it into the ground. They will turn everywhere they are, unless it's on concrete, into mud. And if it's on concrete, they turn that into a pile of manure. Amen. I put a lot of straw and hay up in barns over pig lots in the heat of the summer there in central Illinois. And I can tell you right now, you don't want to put your pearls with the swine. And you're going to have to... Now listen, I don't suggest you walk up to people and say, no, I can't hang out with you anymore, you're a swine. Swine, pig dog, you know, you can't do that. But there are some people you're going to have to separate from if you're going to get your answer. Amen. Just because I'm looking at doesn't mean I'm telling the person you're sitting next to, you guys, I'm just saying. Amen. Well, see there, I knew it. I got to divorce my wife. She's been holding me back. No, no, no. You already got problems. Amen. Never underestimate the power of faith-filled friends. So, let me ask you this. If Jesus was passing by today, would he see faith? Would there be faith for him to recognize? Would there be faith there that he would make mention of? And so tonight I want to call you to activate your faith. Thank God for hope, but activate your faith. Start saying what the Word of God, and continue, not just start, but continue, because I know this bunch. I know y'all, you're people of faith. You've been taught faith. But hey, we all need reminders in these areas. You know, sometimes we're not careful. We'll just go along and let life happen to us instead of telling life what it's going to be. according to the word of God. Amen. And the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. Thank you, Father, for your word. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you, Father, that your word is always true. We endeavor to build ourselves up in the area of faith and our belief. Thank you, Father, that your word covers every area of our life, and we can declare what it says about us. Father, I ask you to give each one of us insight and revelation concerning the faith that we are operating in. Help us, Father God. Help us. Get us the word in many, many ways. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word, Father. Thank you for revelation concerning your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything tonight, I'm going to ask you to come on down. Men, come to the men. Ladies, to the ladies. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. Amen. Why do we pray according to the word of God? Because that's where the answer is. Isn't that right? That's where your answer is. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, do we have any visitors? I don't remember seeing anybody. If you're here, we're here for the first time. Thank you for being here. Thank you all for watching us online. Don't forget, Wednesday night, Hour of Power. We'll be right here at 7 o'clock. God bless you. Have a great night.